this time we're going to hear the scripture reading for today. Ed's going to read for us from Romans chapter 11, verses 16 through 24. I invite you now to hear God's word.
If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. And if the root is holy, then the branches also are holy. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in their place to share the rich root of the olive tree, do not vaunt yourself over the branches. If you do vaunt yourself, remember that it is not you that support the root, but the root that supports you. You will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief, but you stand only through faith. So do not become proud, but stand in awe. For if God did not spare the natural branches, perhaps he will not spare you. Hope then that the kindness and severity of God, severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness towards you, provided you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And even those of Israel, if they do not persist in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you have been cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree?
Ed, I could listen to you read scripture all day long. That was wonderful. And from Matthew chapter 3, verse 10, even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to join me in our prayer preparation. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord,
our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Today we continue our series called Prune Me, Please. We are looking at the many references in the scriptures to plants and trees. When we look closely at them, we can get a better sense of what it is God is trying to do in our lives. Last week we saw how plants are pruned, and pruning is actually a word used to mean clean or holy. When we are pruned or cleansed by God, we are better able to follow God's path for our lives. It gets the rotten parts out so we can be holy just as God is holy. Today we expand from pruning to looking at the roots and the fruit of our lives. I shared last week how I am far from capable when it comes to caring for plants. I am forgetful and impatient, and these are fatal flaws for plants under my care. Several years ago, my wife, Emily, just happened to hear from a friend that they were getting rid of a room full of potted plants. It was near my birthday, and Emily knows that I love nature. I love the idea of a room full of beautiful, lush plants filling our sunroom we call the conservatory. So she got these plants for me, and I couldn't believe it. The car was overflowing with plants, and she just kept bringing out more and more and more. And there was so much diversity, there were so many plants, I didn't even recognize what they all were. That first year was wonderful. I felt like a real master gardener as the plants grew and thrived. My son Davey was 2 at the time, and he loved to water the plants with me, spilling half of the can around the plants. But it didn't matter, the plants were growing. But of course, I am not a master gardener. By the second year, a few of the plants had died. By the third, a few more. Now when you walk into the conservatory, you have to wonder why we have so many empty pots. The reason, of course, is I keep killing everything. I have to say, though, I'm doing great with the spider plants. They are just so easy to take care of. But you can probably guess what my wife Emily's least favorite plant is, right? Yep, the spider plants. Sorry to my wife. Part of the problem there is I'm realizing that I don't do a good job of taking care of the roots. We know a plant in our garden needs to be cared for. It needs to be planted at the right time, not too hot, not too cold. It needs to be in the sun, and it needs to be watered. Plants in the wild of nature can get these things without anyone doing anything for them, but we also know that without pruning and nutrients, the results are underwhelming. Good fruit comes when we do the hard work of pruning and nurturing plants. So a huge part of a plant growing successful is in the roots. Roots provide the nutrients that feed the plant and ultimately determines the kind of fruit that will be produced. I wonder, what kind of fruit do you have in your life? Do you prune and nurture all the things God has given you? When we think of plants and how they grow, we can make a direct connection between them and how we as people grow in our relationship with God and in our relationship with other people. Hear the start of the scripture we read today from Romans 11 again. If the root is holy, so are the branches. And the root in these scriptures is not a certain way of living. The roots are not rules or morals. The root is not religion. The root is God alone. When you connect to a holy and righteous God, then you produce fruit that is also holy and righteous. The book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul, and he is writing with a very specific goal in mind. He's helping these people living in the city of Rome to understand how it is that we experience salvation. Now, every 6 months or so, we have a new members class here at the church. It's a chance for new people to meet others, to get to know us as a church, and for people to make a commitment to follow God. If you are thinking about joining as a member of our church, let me know. We'd love to have you take that next step in your connection with our church. In the class, though, we always talk a little about theology, and I ask them, what is salvation? And nobody ever wants to answer. It seems like a big question, doesn't it? Salvation. It might even seem like an older word that might not be too easy to understand. At its root, though, salvation just means to be saved. It's simple. But we got to ask, what are we saved from? And there are all kinds of answers to that question. We are saved from sin, from the devil, from a broken world, from ourselves and self-destruction, from despair, from death. But to me, the primary thing we are saved from is separation from God. If we don't choose to follow God and submit our lives to Him, we cut ourselves off from the root. We're on our own, and I am certain just about everything is harder in life when we go it alone. Salvation is connection to God and connection to people, to community, and the blessing that flows from loving this beautiful world that God has made. The Apostle Paul's primary argument in Romans 11 is about our connection to God. Israel thought at one time that just being biologically Jewish was enough. Now, being biologically Jewish at that time meant you had to follow certain rules and customs, but in the end, the prophets and Jesus himself make it abundantly clear that biology and rules, even religious rules, are not enough to connect us with God. Only God can make a way for people to connect with God, and that way was made when Jesus lived and died and rose from the dead. It revealed that this way is not just for Jewish people, but for all people. Everyone can know God's love and the blessing that he intends for all people. But it doesn't take rules or customs to get there. It takes faith. It takes trust in God no matter what comes your way. So Paul is saying, hey, don't get arrogant about being connected to God. Literally anyone can be connected when they put their trust in God. We want everyone to trust God, to be connected to the root, so that we can become more like God, holy and fruitful. We also read in Matthew 3:10, the axe is laid to the root. If you aren't becoming more like God, then you are dead wood. You are cut off. Now, I don't read that as a threat from God, like he's punishing people for their evil behavior. I think God very specifically wants to be connected with you, no matter who you are or what you think you've done to offend God. Instead, our choices, our decisions to cut ourselves off from God simply lead to the obvious, inevitable result of being disconnected from the root. We don't get the nutrients we need, and we die. You'll see over here, I have this vase here. It has forsythia from my yard. I cut it this morning, and it looks beautiful, doesn't it? It's not quite at its prime, but these beautiful yellow flowers, they come up with spring, right? And it looks good. Now, the problem is, the longer these go disconnected from the root, from the rest of the bush, the worse it looks, right? So I have another branch for you. Hold on just a moment. This is one that my son took off from the branch earlier in the week. This is eventually what happens to forsythia when it is disconnected from the root. And it's probably whipped around a little bit by a three-year-old. It looks like this, right? This is not what we want to be. We want to look like this, don't we? And the only way that happens is when we stay connected to the root. Now, this might surprise some of you, but the people that often have the hardest time with this line of thinking are religious people. Here's why I think that's true. If you are surrounded by other religious people, if you listen to Christian radio, if you watch Christian TV and read the Bible all the time, doesn't it seem like you would be the most Christian? But a form of religion has nothing to do with whether we are truly connected to the root of Christ. Jesus makes this clear over and over when he embraces the people that are not really religious. He connects with the poor, the needy, the disenfranchised, people that are more known for their sin than for their good deeds. We see it in Matthew 15 where the religious leaders come to Jesus and they say, "Hey, how come your followers are breaking all the rules? They don't even wash their hands before they eat." And Jesus responds by pointing out other rules that these religious leaders are breaking. Then he quotes scripture saying, "These religious people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And he warns that if it is not God that is planting something, then it will be uprooted. The weeds will be removed. Only God's garden will last. That means the things you say, the rules you follow, they do nothing. The one thing that God wants from you is your heart. God wants that connection with you. If he has that, then everything else will fall into place. Your branch will be fed by the root, and you'll produce beautiful, lush fruit. So how do you know if that is happening for you? How do you know if your branch is connected to God or if you are on your own withering away? The disciples of Jesus had the same question. Just after Jesus says this stuff about hand washing, the disciples are asking, what does this mean? They are confused why Jesus is saying the religious leaders are not the example to follow. So he explains it plainly. What you put in your mouth doesn't separate you from God. It's what comes out of your mouth that does. The words we say, the actions we take, they flow from the heart. So dirty hearts think dirty thoughts. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. We don't have to argue over the details of these things. You know when you are doing something wrong. That is a sign of your separation from God. It is rotten fruit instead of the fruit God wants from us. There was a little girl who was learning about the fruits of the Spirit, and her dad asked her to recite it. You heard Christine mention it today. She knew them, and she said them back. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and remote control. Ooh, she was so close there, right? She just missed that last one. Self-control, right? We know what God's fruit looks like in our lives. It's about loving people, seeing them the way God does, as his children in need of a deeper, fuller connection with the root, Jesus Christ. I met with another pastor this week, and he was telling me about a church that had fired their pastor. There was a small group within this church that had very different theology from the rest of the church, and they made such a big stink about their brand of theology that they convinced everyone else to fire the pastor. So the church went along, went for a long time trying to find their next pastor. It took them years. Could you imagine not having a pastor here in the church for years? Well, maybe some of you could, but let's not go there. And when they finally did hire a new pastor, guess what? There were no more problems about theology because all the people that had raised such a stink in the first place and got the pastor fired, they had already left the church. Can you believe that? The issue here is not theology. It's not about our differences in what we believe about God. People believe all kinds of different things. The point is how we treat one another. It's about the fruit of our lives. Dividing a church against its pastor and then abandoning it is not God's fruit. We heard of an example today of fruit. Rick Winkler. Praise God for the work that he does out in the world and here for the church. That is God's fruit being born in the world. So ask yourself this. Am I bearing God's fruit in my life today more so today than I was yesterday? Do you look at the people you encounter every day and treat them with respect, with dignity? Do you love them? The question is not about them. It's not about whether they are good or not. It's not if they are kind or nice or helpful to you. It's about whether you are growing in your love for God's people, for God's creation. When we are rooted in Christ, the things we care about are so different from the rest of the world. We don't care about getting more money. We care about doing work that blesses this world. We don't care about getting ahead. We care about our family and friends, even strangers. We don't care about revenge on people that hurt us. We care about redemption, about reconnecting with those that have lost their way. Our fruit is love. It builds bridges. It restores brokenness. It lets us have hope in the face of impossible odds. Connection to the holy root of God means our whole lives are different. It means religion is not a chore. It's a relationship with God that has its ups and downs, sure, but at the center is trust. Trust that God will see us through this thing and that holy fruit will blossom on the other side. One last story for you today. Out in Kentucky several years ago, there was this terrible bus accident. It was called the worst drunken driver accident in the history of Kentucky. The bus was purchased by a local church and used for all kinds of trips. On this particular day, it was filled with young people, and they had just finished a day at an out-of-state theme park. They were headed back home at night, and after stopping for gas and passing Kentucky state lines, they were on the highway at night. As the bus traveled on a curved stretch of the highway, a pickup truck that was on the wrong side of the road smashed right into the bus. Now, no one was seriously hurt from the accident itself. The problem was that the bus door was stuck shut, and the truck had hit the bus in just the right spot to pierce the gas tank, and because some metal got loose, it sparked a fire. The driver tried to put out the fire with the fire extinguisher as people exited out the back door of the bus, but within 2 minutes, the bus was said to be over 2,000 degrees. 40 survived, but 27 were trapped inside and burned to death. Tammy Darnell was one of the youth who survived, and she said that the youth pastor was at the front of the bus and was instantly surrounded by flames. And what did he do in a moment like that? How did he respond? He tried to help everyone he could, and when he could do no more, he smiled and shouted, "Lord, I'm coming home." A journalist, Ann, who covered the story, said she wasn't a Christian back then. She couldn't make sense of what Chuck, the youth pastor, did in that moment. The cool youth pastor, who was called Banana by the youth, is surrounded by flames, about to die a horrible death, and he smiles. She says the only way that's possible is by knowing something most people don't, that death is not the end. that trusting God means you are connected to the root, to God himself. It means that even the worst of circumstances doesn't mean you stop bearing God's fruit, blessing those around you. Today, that journalist is a Christian because Chuck wouldn't let anything, not even flames of death, separate him from the root of Christ. Are you connected to God like that? Is your life bearing God's fruit no matter how good or bad things might be? That's what God calls us to. Deep, abiding faith that trusts God, the root, the source of life, no matter what. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.